Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Richter joins us once again in the garden with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today.
Always a pleasure to join you.
It is such an honor having you back on the program at this extremely busy time of year. I know you are hopping like crazy. Lots of orders coming through and lots of people getting fresh new herb options for their gardens.
This time of year, of course, we've been very busy growing the plants and packaging up seed, and now, of course, it's the time now to get them to our customers so that they can have them for their garden. So, yes, we've been very busy shipping plants already, especially to the southern states, and, of course, they've been sending seeds for months now. So, yeah, it's a very busy time. It's an exciting time, though, and very rewarding time because we just love the fact that people are continuing to get interested in gardening, new people coming in, and people who have the garden all along are more adventurous these days, I see. They're willing to try something new. Maybe an exotic vegetable from Europe that they've never heard of before. They'll just get it because they like the sound of a herb.
And that's the thing I think is amazing. There are so many plants that fall under the herb category, and there's so many different benefits, whether it's culinary or medicinal or beauty, just something to enjoy to see. Some of them are repellents for mosquitoes. There's so many benefits under the herb category.
Absolutely. And this is why I always think of a herb garden as a relationship. You're having a relationship with these plants because it's not just something that you paint the garden with a bunch of flowers and then you look at it and enjoy that too. But you're out there and picking some leaves for a cup of tea or picking some leaves for an omelette or a salad or something of that sort. And you're doing that on a regular basis. And in the course of doing that, you're walking around in the garden, you're squeezing the leaves and smelling these incredible scents. A lemon scent, a rosemary scent, a savory type scent. It's that relationship which I'd like to emphasize because I think too many people think of the garden as something formal, something like a piece of furniture. Instead of that relationship where you're out there every day and feeling the plants, really feeling the plants.
My son Sterling went out just a couple hours ago. He gathered some eggs from the chickens. He picked up a few leaves of sage, made himself a quick little omelet with some cheese and some vegetables, and delicious. It's that experience to have those scents and those fragrances and those flavors all come together
and things that you can just gather from your garden, and you can change that based on which herbs you decide to pick that day.
And I find that when you do that on a regular basis, you begin to appreciate these plants for what they are in a different way. Instead of the standard being the brightest standout type flowers that people typically want to have in their garden, you're out there and you're enjoying the textures, the different shades, and the different ways that the plants grow. Some creep along the ground, some grow straight up, some even climb on other plants. And then when you start to spend time in your garden, working with the plants, you begin to appreciate all of this chaos. It may seem like chaos sometimes, but there's a lot of order in it as well, because these plants ultimately find a way to work together in a way. Some plants need a little bit of shade, so they'll tend to grow under another plant, and then other plants need to get up high, and they end up providing the shade for other plants. So that's one of the great things about that kind of gardening, where you are fundamentally unboxing the plants in a way. You're getting past the notion that there are confined areas for your different areas of a garden. Like traditionally, people would put the flowers in the front of a house, and they would put the vegetables in the back of the house, and you'd be lucky to find any herbs and all of that. But that would be the traditional separation going back many, many years. Now, today, it's so exciting to see people thinking of these plants of more or less on equal terms. And it's not surprising now to see a tomato next to petunias or some other plants, flowering plants in the garden. And certainly the herbs can be planted all throughout this. So I call that unboxing your plants and getting away from the formality of a garden, not worrying about laying out your herb garden in any kind of a formal way, just digging in.
And like we've talked about before, there's so many different varieties of each type of herb, too. I mean, that's the other fun, playful part of this. Mint is something I've been really focused on lately. I love the different kinds of mints that are out there. You know, I mean, a lot of people go, well, I'll have a little mint in my garden. I'll have a little bit of rosemary. I'll have a little bit of sage. I'll have a little bit of whatever. Which mint are you going to go with? I can't just choose one, you know. I need to have maybe an orange mint or an apple mint or a pineapple mint. Or the chocolate mint, or maybe the spearmint. You know, it depends on my flavor of the day, you know, and that's what makes it fun. I mean, there's the mojito mint. There's so many different ways you can go with these. Who could stop with just one, you know?
Yeah, and with all those varieties, you can really make your garden a personal garden. It's your personal statement. It's your personal refuge from the rest of the world. And I call that your personal cottage garden, in a way. If you think back of the old English cottage garden and the way it looked, you would have virtually everything planted there. I mean, vegetables and herbs and flowers would be all planted among each other. And the idea is, I think, first of all, fundamentally, it's informal and it's an adventure. When you walk through a garden like that, it's a real adventure. It's something that you want to wade into and look around and see what's tall and what's short, and you might brush against some herb and smell lemon-scented lemon balm or lemon verbena or lemon thyme or so many of the other scented herbs. So it's a place where you feel like you want to get in and explore. And so I love it when I see gardeners today doing that sort of thing. Even downtown in a big city, you see people turning over their front lawns into something like that. I just love it. I love that eccentricity, that personal statement, and that sense of exploration when you go into a garden like that.
I agree. It is fun. We've been looking at herbs a little differently ourselves, and even just beyond a straight row in the garden or border or something, we're seeing them as an opportunity to replace weeds. If you put a patch of mint in among your orchard trees, you know, where they have enough sunshine and they're getting water anyway because you're watering the trees, you're getting something in there that you actually could use and benefit instead of just pulling weeds all the time or mowing them down. You're creating a new opportunity there that didn't exist previously.
That's right. And you're exactly right. I mean, there are herbs like mint and thymes especially that are really effective in crowding out weeds. So then you spend less of your time weeding. And that's obviously a bonus, and more time enjoying the plants. So, yes, I think the diversity that a cottage garden offers is a big bonus, is a big feature. Again, I mentioned earlier the sense of discovery one has in walking through a garden like that. Well, that diversity also has effects on establishing a better ecology in your garden. For instance, if you have everything in rows, as you suggested earlier, that just is the natural thing that people did for many, many years, or plant out a row of dill, plant out a row of basil, plant out a row of marjoram or chives and so on. Well, the only reason why I think you would want to plant a whole row of chives is if you're getting into business of selling salad dressing. You only need a few plants of chives. You don't really need them out in a row. So better to plant in among all that some time, some creeping times that will crowd out the weeds in between the chives and create a nice effect.
I agree with you. It is so fun. I think a lot of us, sometimes when we're planting things we're not familiar with, we tend to shy back a little bit and we go, okay, well, I don't know if I'm doing it right. So a lot of times we hold off and don't get it done at all. There are no real rules or anything. I guess the main thing you got to watch out for is plant the appropriate plants in the right areas. You know, I mean, if you're in zone 6, for example, you don't want to be planting something in zone 10 unless you only plan to use it as an annual.
That's correct. Yeah, you certainly want to pay attention to the hardiness. If it's a biannual or perennial, that is a two-year plant or a multi-year plant, the perennial. So if you want it to grow year after year, then of course you need to get plants that are hardy in your particular zone. So it is important to know what your zone is. But even there, people can become quite obsessed with that. I remember years ago, the director of the botanical garden in Edmonton, which is way up in northern Alberta, pretty darn cold up there, generally talking about zone 3, 4, something like that, probably more like 2 or 3. Anyway, he called me one time and he chastised me about the zone ratings that I had for so many of my herbs in the catalog, saying that in his neck of the wood, in his botanical garden, he can get a lot of these things to winter over where the zones would indicate they shouldn't survive. And I think it's because oftentimes, extenuating circumstances, then he in particular goes to great pains to protecting the plants over winter, making sure that they have a good mulch, and of course in northern Alberta they have a good snow cover, and so that helps getting the plants to survive. So again, zones, going through a catalog and trying to find all the plants that meet your zone is a good strategy. Don't be afraid to try a little bit of zone hopping, as we say. So if you happen to be in a zone 5, don't be afraid to try a zone 6. You may just be able to get it to winter over in your particular area.
That excites me. We've actually had that exact discussion this past week, quite a few times actually, with different plants. Pomegranates, for example. We had some that should be a zone higher than us, and we molded around, and we ended up getting the plant anyway, even though it's slightly out of our zone. We're excited about the opportunity there, and I guess just a little extra effort, a little extra mulch, a little extra care at the end of the fall season could make all the difference.
Yeah, and the other thing about this notion of just digging in or diving in and just planting and creating your personal sanctuary in your backyard or in your front yard is that many of the herbs, unlike trees and shrubs, are relatively easy to move. If, for example, you feel that you've planted something that just doesn't quite work where it ended up and you feel that it should be moved somewhere else, most of these herbs that we're talking about, both perennials and especially the annuals, they're fine for transplanting. There are always a few exceptions, but what generally you could say that if you dispense with the fear of planting these things in the wrong spot, and just observe the plants, and if they are getting, say, let's say you planted an echinacea next to thyme, and the echinacea flowers are towering over some thyme plants that are only up about 10 inches high, and you just don't like the effect, well, dig up that echinacea and put it further back. Move it around. And that's some of the great gardeners of the past. That's basically what they do. they're constantly moving things around. And that also engenders a kind of relationship with your garden and makes it more personal.
You're not married to that exact spot. The other cool thing about herbs is that relative to a fruit tree, which could cost $200 or more if it doesn't make it, is very inexpensive. I mean, moving an herb around is not that bad. If it doesn't make it, you're not out $200.
Absolutely. You really pay more than $8 for any of these herbs. And so cost really isn't much of a consideration here. And of course, many of these herbs you can start from seeds, then that makes it even a lot cheaper. So cost really isn't much of a consideration. And there are a few plants, there are a few important herbs that don't transplant very well, and it's well worth noting those. Certainly the herbs within the carrot family, those tend not to be very easy to transplant because they tend to have long taproots. I find that any plant that has a long taproot, not very many side roots, but a long taproot that goes down deep, they tend to dislike any kind of disruption of the root system. So what happens if you try to transplant those things is that instead of producing a lot of leaves, let's say parsley, parsley is a member of that family, caraway and coriander or cilantro, so many different herbs belong to that particular family. If you try to transplant them, they get kind of scared, and then they immediately go to flower instead of producing all the leaves that you want. So there are a few that you need to know about that best to leave where you plant them and not transplant. But virtually everything else, thyme, rosemary, basil, marjoram, sage, and on, they're fine to transplant as needed.
So many different opportunities here, so many different options. And folks, we certainly encourage you to stop by Richters.com, check out their website. You've really done an amazing job as far as descriptions of these plants, how they grow, how to best care for them, and how to use them.
Truth be told, my problem with our herbs is when to shut up about them, because there is so much of interest in each one of these plants because it goes beyond just the mere aesthetics or the look or some food value. I mean, you get into the medicinal value, and as you mentioned earlier, some of these plants have other important features like insecticidal value and on, and aromatics. All the aromatic herbs as well. So I find it hard to pack into a paper catalog all that I'm excited about in many of these plants. So yes, it's a passion for us. We want to communicate how these plants are used and the richness of even the historical richness and the richness of what they offer, all the qualities that they have that we can take advantage of. As we've talked about many times on your program, the borders between the different traditional plant groups are dissolving. What is a herb? Or what is a flower? Or what is a vegetable? Well, it's even hard to define these now because the borders aren't so clear anymore. And actually, many are all three. So when you have so many different uses, so many different ways that these plants can have an impact in your garden and in your lives, it gets exciting to write them up. And so that's really what it is. I get excited about these plants and telling the stories about them.
And I think that excitement is contagious, too. I mean, there really is a significant growing interest in herbs. I've seen so much excitement about them as people start to discover uses and how easy they are to grow and how much fun it is to grow these things, to get a burst of color certain times of the year or those fragrances. There's so much magic within these things. I know that's part of the reason why you're so busy this time of year, especially trying to keep up with all those orders.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, the magic is incredible about these plants. And then tying together why we use these plants in a certain way, why certain herbs are used with certain foods. And when you dig into some of the plant chemistry of these plants, you begin to understand that there is a rational basis why this particular herb is used with this particular food, because it may improve digestion or might improve the safety of a food because of an antibiotic or antiseptic quality. So, yeah, all that enriches the story behind herbs. and ties all these different elements, the ornamental, the medicinal, the culinary, and the aromatic, ties them all together in a nice way.
Again, we remind folks to stop by your website for more information on many of these different types of herbs.
Yes. I welcome everyone to visit our website at richters.com. That's RICHTERS.com.
Although you are extremely busy right now, it's not too late to order plants. It's definitely not too late to order seeds.
Oh, no. By all means, order, and we'll be shipping all through the spring and well into the summer, so no problem there. And we've got lots of plants. You're not too late.
I know a lot of people have had some challenges with shipping over the years with plants. You've actually done some innovations with boxing and to packaging to maximize the odds of these things coming through safely through the mail.
Yeah, actually, it was my dad many years ago, back in, say, the beginning of the 1990s, when he worked with a cardboard manufacturer to design a box that has this insert that holds the pots in place, and in a way that even if you turn the box upside down or you kick it like a football, the plants will not be dislodged. So, and that basic design has gone through a number of evolutions over the years. And in fact, sometime this year, we're expecting to try yet another variation on that same theme that we think will be even better than what we've had all along. So yes, we've had great success in shipping our plants and all of North America. I think we're one of the very few horticultural companies that is capable of shipping plants and seeds to every province and every state in North America. We handle all the customs formalities, and we deal with the USDA and the importation of these things. And basically, it's as if you order a box of plants from us, it's as if you're ordering from a nursery just down the road.
You've done a fantastic job. In fact, we've received plants from you before in the past. We've ordered them, received them. They come in perfectly boxed, bright and happy. They can't wait to get into our garden. It's a lot of fun, and that magic is neat. It's really fun to have a package of them show up on your doorstep, something that mom might like.
Absolutely, yes. And the choice is getting ever greater every year as we keep adding more and more things that we find around the world. So I encourage anyone who has even a bit of interest in plants and gardening, take a look and see. Maybe expand your horizon a little bit, because they're bound for sure to be plants that you've never heard of before.
All righty then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Conrad Richter with Richter's Herbs. And when we come back, we have some tips for those getting started in herb gardening. Stick around, more fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. He never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie. I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moon rise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Let's talk about city lighting and light pollution. Light pollution happens when an area is so saturated with light that it completely overwhelms the night sky. The night sky is a thing of value, both in its beauty and as a reminder of our place in the universe. To lose it is a sad thing indeed. Now, nobody likes stumbling around in the dark, but there are certainly ways to use light more efficiently. Turn off your lights when you don't need them. Consider using timers or motion detectors. Shop for shielded lights or add shielding to existing ones. In the meantime, consider planning your trips to make dark sky astrotourism a part of your adventures. Utah has the highest concentration of certified dark sky places in the world. Our outdoor parks and monuments are wonderful places to see the stars at their best. If people will cross continents just to get a glimpse of the Grand Canyon, isn't the Milky Way worth it as well? And if we can successfully reduce our light pollution, we won't need to drive for hours just for a glimpse of the Milky Way. All we'll need to do is go sit out in the backyard. And that's a dream worth working towards.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Become a certified good guy or gal. Get your concealed firearms permit. TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Conrad Richter with us with Richter's Herbs. Let's talk about some of these plants. Now, there are lots of different ways you can start your garden. Let's say folks have not planted any herbs up to this point. Do you recommend annuals? Do you recommend perennials? Where would you start if you were a new grower?
Well, I probably would stick with plants rather than seeds at this point, because I think a lot of people who have never planted seeds before get hung up on that a little bit. There are some herbs that are a challenge to grow from seeds, whereas many other herbs, of course, are just as easy as peas and corn and beans. But one thing about herbs is that in a lot of cases, you don't need a whole row, as you would say, tomatoes or peppers, because you want to grow enough tomatoes to make a tomato soup or to juice them or put them in salads and so on. So you need a lot of plants. And the same with carrots and so on and so forth. So the notion of planting a whole row of these kinds of vegetables is something that most people are familiar with. With herbs, one chive is often enough. And so a box of six herbs might include a chive, might include an oregano, might include a basil and a rosemary, a tarragon. And all of these, one plant, or if you're a real fan, you might want two or three plants, but you certainly don't need a whole row of those herbs to enjoy in your daily cooking.
And the nice thing also is you technically don't even need a garden. I mean, if you have a nice window box, a lot of these will do very well.
They will. Most herbs are highlight loving. And that's mostly true of our culinary herbs. So when you speak of the herbs that I just mentioned, such as the rosemary and the thyme and basil and oregano and so on, many of those come from the Mediterranean area. And they're generally sunny and generally hot with good drainage. The soil is usually very well drained. And so those are the kinds of conditions that these plants prefer. So if you're growing them indoors, you have to make darn sure that you have a really bright, sunny window to get a good result. But they may not grow as lush in the winter, but then you can move them out starting now as the season warms up. You can move them out onto a balcony, put them in planters on a patio, in hanging baskets. There are herbs that look fantastic in hanging baskets. Some of the mints, for example, will trail over very beautifully from a hanging basket. Nasturtiums, of course, nasturtium flowers are gorgeous in hanging baskets. So if you remember that these herbs, when they're grown indoors, need a lot of light, so that might be a south, especially a south or east or west window. Certainly don't try growing them in a north window. And then move them out at the earliest opportunity onto the balcony, out into the sun. And then they will really flourish.
I love to see them on the windowsills, on the little window boxes out there. And another side benefit of it is it brings in the pollinators oftentimes, too.
Oh, well, yes. And this, of course, has become a great interest among gardeners in general over the last, I'd say, at least a decade now. So we've been adding comments about the pollinator status of our herbs. Any herb that produces nectar in its flowers will be a pollinator magnet. So that includes many of the herbs in what's called the Labiatae family or the Lamiaceae family, which is actually just mints. It's called the mint family, but it actually includes many mint lookalikes. So for instance, the herb lemon balm or savory or oregano. And thyme is actually a member of that family, and all of them have flowers that have nectar-producing glands, and that's what the pollinators absolutely love. If you grow thyme in your garden, you will see lots of bees visiting. So sage is another member of that family, and some of the sages really produce a lot of nectar, and you'll even find hummingbirds coming.
And if you raise bees, if you have honeybees at all, you can taste some of those flavors in the honey.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Some of the nicest honeys are a thyme honey, which is just the honey where the bees have visited a field of thyme, or lavender. Lavender is also a member of that mint family that I mentioned. And it produces a lot of nectar in those flowers, and you see bees visiting constantly throughout the summer months. So, yes, and that's a really nice bonus.
So many different ways you can play with this thing. Lavender, like you just mentioned, great border plant, especially something like the phenomenal lavender that stands up nice, has a little bit of height to it, and again, that fragrance is always to be enjoyed.
Yeah, phenomenal is such an interesting story because there are many traditional lavenders out there. There are English lavenders, what we call as a group, English lavenders, and as you might expect, quite popular in England, but are also grown in many other parts of the world and are native, in fact, to North Africa and around the Mediterranean. So that's one group. And then you have other groups that are different species that are not quite so hardy. Well, there is one hybrid group that's what we call lavendin, and it's a cross between a spike lavender and an English lavender, and it resulted in the lavenders that are preferred in southern France. And we often see when you have hybrids, and I know a lot of people have a certain animosity to the whole notion of hybridization and all of that, but there are sort of natural hybrids out there too. I mean, plants are constantly cross-pollinating, and sometimes a hybrid will take hold and people will observe and see that it has some special qualities, and then it gets perpetuated in the form of cuttings and divisions and that sort of thing. And that's what's happened with this whole class of lavenders called lavendin. And phenomenal lavender is a more recent hybrid. It was a deliberate hybrid, actually, developed in America, but it was crossing those same types of lavenders. The breeders, I think, hit the jackpot. They really just got the right magical mix of genes from one parent and the other parent and came up with this incredibly uniform, incredibly resilient variety of lavender. It's just amazing what they came up with. It is by far our most popular variety.
I'm not surprised. I remember the first time we talked about it when it first came out. It has not changed in status at all. It's just grown in popularity ever since.
Yes. That speaks to one of the advantages of this kind of gardening that we've been talking about. This crazy, unboxed, informal cottage garden aesthetic. One of the advantages of that is that you do get this kind of inadvertent or haphazard crossing sometimes, and you end up with some amazing and interesting plants out of it. And I always tell people when I give public speaking, I'm always telling people that you could, in your garden, have the next amazing new plant, the result of some crossing, some kind of between one parent and another in your garden because you've mixed up a lot of different varieties, and that could go on to become an amazing new variety. And it's not just a theoretical thing that I'm saying. There are lots of varieties that are currently on the market that came out of the garden of just amateur gardeners.
I think that is so cool. I've been looking in my garden. I haven't found one yet. But when I do, I know who to call.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, basil, well, there was a restaurateur in Illinois for many years just had a fascination for mints, like you. You love mints. And so he had all kinds of different mints in his garden. And they crossed. And at least a dozen named varieties came out of those crossings, right out of his backyard garden, some of which we still carry in our catalog. They're what we call the Jim Westerfield mints. And so that's just one example. Basil is another example. It's easy to cross them. You get some amazing colors. And it's part of the excitement. And so with that amazingly diverse type of gardening where you've got plants all over the place, you increase the chances of this sort of thing happening. So we're constantly adding new things to our catalog. So for those who are experienced gardeners and want to try something even a little more out there, we've got those too. We got you covered as well.
Fantastic. Mr. Conrad Richter joining us once again from the garden with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today. Have a great spring.
Oh, thank you very much, and all the best to you, all of the listeners.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's Dark Sky Parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
To foster a peaceful environment on all waterways, Wake Responsibly is a campaign that educates homeowners and boaters about courteous behavior to ensure every moment on the lake is safe and enjoyable for all. In 2015, ocean engineer and naval architect Clifford Gowdy scientifically studied and collected wave energy data on the characteristics of boat wakes. WSIA analyzed the data to develop recommendations to protect shorelines, docks, and other personal property. First on the list is this. We highly recommend that all wake surfing take place in the middle of any given waterway whenever possible. However, if you run at least 150 feet or more from any shoreline or dock, your wakes and waves will have enough time to dampen and minimize any effect. Did you also know that the wave you surf on is 10% higher and generates 23% more energy than the opposite side? As a courtesy, we also suggest that you present the non-surfing side to the closest shoreline. If the water level is abnormally high, these practices will help protect docks from flooding and inconveniencing homeowners. It's not just boat wakes that we asked you to consider, though. We realize marine audio stereos are better and louder than ever, and we all like to crank the tunes from time to time. But please consider time of day and the situation to be considerate of homeowners who might prefer calm and peace over the weekend's new album on blast. Minimizing repetitive passes is also a simple way to avoid conflicts with homeowners. We all seek the calmest line for wakeboarding and skiing, but glassy water is not as crucial for wake surfing. After a few passes along any given shoreline, take a break or move on to another spot. In order to protect our favorite activity for years to come, we hope you realize that you must follow these guidelines and help us spread the word to those who might not understand. Don't be afraid to approach another boater who is acting out of line and kindly explain the code of conduct so that wake sports may be accessible for many generations to come. Join us and take the pledge to wake responsibly today. Head over to wakeresponsibly.com for more information.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
Avoid engine problems on your boat by using the right fuel. We're filling up the tank next on Western Life Radio.
Let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
right fuel will make a difference for your boat engine. Ty Hunter with Utah State Parks and Recreation fuels up the tank.
When you're buying fuel for your boat, unless you were going to empty that tank very, very often, I still wouldn't even ever recommend it to put ethanol type of fuel in, just regular E10 fuel in. I would not recommend that. I would recommend to buy non-ethanol fuel. You can get on and Google non-ethanol fuel or ethanol-free fuel sites near me, and you can find places. They are all over the place. Some are not as convenient as others, but they are around where you can fuel up and run that ethanol-free fuel. When that fuel with ethanol gets inside of there, sometimes inside your tank, over a period of time, it will separate. And a lot of times, if you were running an ethanol-free fuel, and then you put an ethanol-based fuel in your boat, it will clean all that varnish off of your tank, bring it down in, and then you'll get this nice orangish, reddish sludge that'll suck up and plug all your filters and in your lines. It looks like gelled diesel, and it will cost you a lot of money to be able to get that fixed. So just please, just be careful of that. Fuel additives. Sometimes it is not the best thing to put a fuel additive in because you may even be increasing the ethanol or alcohol level and actually accelerating the separation of those compounds in that fuel tank.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Shadows cast, it raises our spirits like warm glowing embers with tales of adventure invoked from the past. He's hunting and fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Song of the mountains is calling to me. Why?
folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.